Congress may have voted to open oil development in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, but drilling opponents haven't given up. As part of their strategy going forward, they're looking beyond Washington, D.C. and across U.S.-Canada border for support. But even if Canada is against drilling in the refuge, what could the nation do to stop it? Elizabeth Harbaugh with Alaska's Energy Desk has the story.
Canada's opposition to oil development in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge comes down to the caribou.
If there is development in this area, and when we do lose the caribou, that will be a significant channel of life that will have dried up and shut down forever.
Dana Tija Tram is a Vuntut Gwich'in council member living in Canada's Yukon Territory. The porcupine caribou herd migrates into Canada and is hunted by his people. Like the Gwich'in in Alaska, he believes any disturbance of the herd's calving grounds in the refuge threatens his community. This is not a new issue. In 1987, the United States signed a treaty with Canada requiring both countries to avoid or minimize activities that would disrupt the caribou. Now, as the Trump administration pursues oil development in the refuge, Tija Tram says the agreement means the U.S. is obligated to consult with Canada before it drills there.
We really have a legitimate voice here and that belongs in this issue.
Canada's leadership agrees. In an emailed statement, an embassy spokesman said the federal, territorial, and Indigenous governments in Canada are united in their commitment to the conservation of the herd and its habitat. U.S. environmental groups see the treaty as a way to stall the push for oil development in the refuge. Mike Anderson is a lawyer with the Wilderness Society in Seattle.
Certainly the Canadians have made it clear that they expect the treaty to be observed and implemented. You know, this is not what necessarily the Trump administration wants in terms of their rushed timeline.
Anderson says if the U.S. abides by the treaty, it will have to take a careful look at potential impacts on the herd. And that, he hopes, will spur Congress to reconsider whether drilling should be allowed. But Anderson acknowledges the treaty has limits. He says the final decision will be up to the U.S. Yuta Brunet, an international environmental law professor with the University of Toronto, agrees. Brunet says the agreement is legally binding. It requires the U.S. to promptly consult with Canada if the herd is significantly harmed. But, she says,
that's, I think, as far as we can take it. There is no commitment that either side makes that they would stop development.
That said, American supporters of oil development in Anwar are not concerned about Canadian interference. Canadian representatives in Washington, D.C. actively lobbied against the provision in last year's tax bill that opened up the refuge to drilling. So Senator Dan Sullivan says he called the Canadian ambassador for what he referred to as a very frank discussion.
And the first thing I said was, Ambassador, I'm not sure you understand what your own country's interests are.
Sullivan says he told the ambassador to cease and desist the lobbying campaign. In later meetings with Canadian officials, he says he passed along this message.
We're, of course, going to work with Canada, but this kind of action undermines your own country's interests because we're going to remember it.
True to his word, Sullivan says he's preparing to introduce a bill related to the Oil Spill Liability Trust Fund, a fund that oil producers must pay into, which is used to cover the cost of oil spill cleanups.
And there was always a glitch, always kind of a, in some ways, a loophole that Canadian tar sands that comes across the border into the United States, produced in Alberta, has never had to pay that fee. Well, I think we should close that loophole.
Asked if this was in direct response to Canada's lobbying actions last year, Sullivan responded,
let's just put it, we were thinking about it. We hadn't made a final decision, and their actions certainly help us make the final decision.
Like many proponents of drilling in Anwar, the senator believes the caribou can stay healthy alongside oil development if it's done responsibly. But he doesn't dismiss that the U.S. must uphold its obligations under its 1987 treaty. So Canada may ultimately take its seat at the table. But whether it can convince the U.S. to stop oil development in Anwar is a much taller order. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Elizabeth Harbaugh in Anchorage.